Thank you for that very, very kind introduction. And, you know, look, I've worked a couple years in public policy, and so here in Tennessee, and so I've seen things in the General Assembly that are not fun and not awesome. And it's easy to see bills that you just think, well, there's no way this isn't going to pass, and they just die a very slow, painful death. And so that already, you know, had some concerns bubbling up in me, but then COVID hit, and then school hit. And for me, as a husband and a father and a dad, I think when COVID first started, like many of us, you had this innate feeling that something was very, very wrong. So many people would tell you, well, this is unconstitutional, but not necessarily able to enunciate, well, why is this unconstitutional? And is it unconstitutional because of the U.S. Constitution, or is it because of our state constitution? So that really kind of put us on a journey. And so I want to open up with Article 1, Section 2 of our Constitution, and it's the statement I love to open up with. And so it's right up top, right at the beginning. And it says that government being instituted for the common benefit, the doctrine of non-resistance against arbitrary power and oppression is absurd, slavish, and destructive of the good and happiness of mankind. So we'll get into arbitrary power in a moment, but our Constitution literally gives Tennesseans a charge and a duty to resist arbitrary power. But it even goes further to say, if you do not, the doctrine of non-resistance, if you do not resist arbitrary power, this is absurd. This is slavish, and it will eventually lead to your destruction. And so you got to ask yourself, well, what might arbitrary power be? Let me ask you some things. Do you think maybe cherry picking and deeming someone essential or non-essential, might that be arbitrary power? Maybe. I love this example because, you know, emergency powers are a state statute, and so they're state powers. So because it's a state power, the penalty for breaking the law should be the same because it comes from the state. Well, and when we had a mask mandate in Williamson County, and of course we still have one in Davidson County, at the time, had you gotten a citation for not wearing a mask in Davidson County, you could have gotten a $50 fine and up to 30 days in jail. But had you crossed the county border and got a citation in Williamson County for the same event, you could have gotten a $2,500 fine and up to a year in prison as a Class A misdemeanor. Now, might that sound arbitrary? Maybe. What about this? So here's what's going on in our schools right now. In Williamson County, we have a mask mandate for schools K through 12 per our framework until there are zero confirmed cases of COVID. Well, how long you think that might be? And now we're so thankful they gave us a mask exemption form, okay? But here's the trick. There's no standards by which you receive a said mask exemption. And the way the mask exemption works is that each principal has the autonomy to decide whether or not they will approve your mask exemption for your child. So you could fill out the same form and have children at two different schools, and that principal might allow for your mask exemption and the other one might not. Might that be arbitrary power? Of course it is. So we have a duty to resist, right? And so not something that you want to do. It wasn't my goal in life to sue the governor of the state of Tennessee. But we did because we have a duty. We have a duty to resist. There's two things I want to walk you through of why we filed the lawsuit, and then we'll kind of dig into the Constitution and authority and all that fun stuff. There's two big things that are happening right now, and this is according to Title 58-2-107. It is the part of the Tennessee Code annotated. By the way, let me just side note here, because you know we have this joint ad hoc committee going on in General Assembly right now. They're evaluating these emergency powers, and they're going to make some suggestions to the 112th legislature as to how we fix this mess. I don't have a lot of hope in that process, because I've seen enough things go down in the General Assembly that caused me not to have a lot of hope in that process. But what most people don't realize is this statute I'm about to go through, this emergency power statute passed in the year 2000, okay? Well, guess who ran the bill in the Senate? Does anybody know? No, well, that'd be funny. But who ran the bill in the Senate in the year 2000 was our current Lieutenant Governor, Randy McNally. Now, let me ask you, how much do you think is going to happen in the Senate on a bill that Randy McNally ran in the year 2000? Because anything significant that happens is not only a repudiation against the actions of the governor, it's a repudiation against the sitting lieutenant governor and majority Senate leader. Okay? Actually, he's not the majority leader. He's the Speaker of the Senate. So I don't have a lot of hope held out for significant action legislatively, which is why we filed the lawsuits. There's two things that are happening. One, these emergency powers give the governor the authority to make executive orders with, quote-unquote, the force and effect of law. Okay? Well, quick story about our Constitution. The governor can't make laws. Okay? And in fact, Article 3 specifically defines the powers of the governor. And in Article 3, Section 10, one of his distinct charges as a governor is to faithfully execute the laws of the state. That certainly doesn't imply that he gets to create them, okay? Article 2 goes into great detail on detailing our legislative branch, which explicitly makes laws. But then here's another really great part of our Tennessee Constitution. By the way, did you know our Tennessee Constitution was adopted in 1796? And when it was, Thomas Jefferson remarked, at the time, I think it was the 16th state constitution ratified, at the time, he said it was the most imperfect and the least imperfect and the most Republican of all current state constitutions. Our Constitution does an incredible job of securing individual liberty, but also limiting our government in a very succinct way. Here's a great example of that. You know, we get separation of powers, right? But we have an Article 2, Section 2 that says specifically, no person or persons belonging to one of these departments shall exercise any of the powers properly belonging to either of the others. Which means that at no time, in no form of fashion, for no reason, can the court do the legislature's work and the governor do the court's work and so on and so forth. So, with that in mind, with the separation of powers and the fact that what we have defined in Article 2 and Article 3, there's no question that the governor of the state of Tennessee cannot make law, even during COVID. Okay, there's no COVID exception. There's no pandemic exception in our Constitution as to all of a sudden the Constitution is no longer in effect. The last thing is Article 7, Section 1. The second issue that happened is that Governor Lee delegated authority to county mayors. So this statute says this: the governor has the power to delegate authority as he deems prudent. That's a really wide and varied statement, isn't it? But that's how the emergency power statute currently reads. But what he did in that action was delegate authority to county mayors. He also delegated authority to county health boards, to the six autonomous health boards that operate sort of autonomously from the state health board. Well, Article 7, Section 1 explicitly states that for county executives, for trustees, for sheriffs, for registrar of deeds, for appraisers, all of those county elected offices, that their duties shall be prescribed by the General Assembly. Our Constitution is very explicit in those terms. So if you want to give additional powers, okay, to a county executive, guess where it has to go? The General Assembly. Our Constitution does not make room for a scenario in which the governor gets to directly add additional powers to a county executive. So those are the two premises that we've placed a lawsuit on. And the reason that we did it in state court per our state constitution is because those protections are very explicit in our Constitution. So real quick, I'll tell you why we did not sue based on the U.S. Constitution in federal court. Because, you know, we have a sort of a win right now in Pennsylvania, and there's another court case we're looking at right now in Ohio. and a few other ones that have been filed in federal court. I'll just be honest with you. I don't have a lot of hope that that decision made in Pennsylvania will hold up in appellate court or eventually Supreme Court. And here's why: the 10th Amendment. And over time, there's a lot of precedent where the Supreme Court has applied the 10th Amendment in such a way, which is the amendment that says, you know, no powers enumerated to the federal government shall be left to the states or to the people, okay? And what the 10th Amendment typically has done is they've given the state a lot of levity, just a lot of broad power in policing power and especially emergency powers. And I know this sounds strange, but almost in such a way where the Supreme Court is sort of okay in an emergency scenario where you may not even have due process, right? They've actually upheld that in the past. So the 10th Amendment is a hard thing to overcome when you're dealing with emergency powers and police powers at a state level, which is why we sued in state court. We just think it's a stronger case. And thankful that we live in the state of Tennessee. You know, most people don't, you don't, we're the only ones that have a Tennessee Constitution, right? So Pennsylvania has a Pennsylvania Constitution, so they didn't have that same opportunity. So that's where, and I'll give you a little bit of update on where we are. So, you know, I hate court. You make a motion, they make an order, this guy writes a brief, then they make a motion, and it's like, can we just get on with it? Is this constitutional or not? And so enough time has passed now. The Attorney General has been served. He's written his response. So in about 2 weeks, mid-October, we're going to be filing a motion for a temporary injunction. So we're asking the judge in Davidson County to place a temporary injunction on these emergency powers while we're going through litigation. We're making that request, and we'll have to see what she says. But what I have been told is our attorney does expect that this issue will be ruled on in county court before the year's up. We think we'll have a court date somewhere the first part of November. There's no mandated time by which she has to issue a ruling. So she's got a lot of leeway there, but we think it'll come before the end of the year. But this will go to the Supreme Court. So one of the things I want to make sure you know, I'm sorry to tell you, there's no quick relief here in the court. We know that win or lose, it's going to an appeal, and this is a case that the Tennessee Supreme Court would hear. On these powers. So that's where we are. And I'm happy to take some questions about that later. So the second lawsuit is against the school superintendent and Williamson County School Board. And one of the things I want to talk about in this school board issue is a phrase called statutory authority. You ever heard of statutory authority? So we're going to talk a little bit about where authority comes from, because this is where people get really messed up. And it's why this is the root of the issue of why we're in the situation that we're in. And anytime I'm in front of a group like this, it's what I want you to leave with, and it's what I'm asking you to remember when you walk out these doors. The school board has no statutory authority to issue a mask mandate for our children. Here's why. A mask is unequivocally a medical device. It is not a piece of clothing. In no world have we ever considered a mask an article of clothing. It is a medical device used for medical purposes, or it's some sort of OSHA compliant work-related device. But it's not like a uniform. It's not a piece of clothing. It's a very well-regulated device that's got all sorts of, you get people are trained for their to use their PPE. Hate the word PPE. I'm sick of hearing it. So there's nowhere in statute that gives a school board the ability to regulate anything concerning healthcare. In fact, there in 49-2-103 is the statute that defines the powers and duties of a local school board. And it's super long. It's very detailed as to what they can and cannot do. Section B2 says one thing about, it's the only part of the statute that says one thing about healthcare. And this is actually part of our claim in our lawsuit. And it says this: if you believe a child to be sick, you first have to believe there's a reason to believe that they're sick. If you think they're sick, the school has the right to send them home require that they see a physician, and the physician is to determine if there's an issue or not and whether or not they should come back to school. That makes sense, right? That you have a doctor that tells you whether or not you're sick and whether or not the school should let you go back in school. That's section B2 of that code. That is the limitations of the school district's authority to mandate health care. If you are sick, we'll send you home and you got to get a doctor's note. That's it. That's all it says. That's called statutory authority. We've enumerated that duty. The General Assembly, Article 11, Section 12, the General Assembly has a duty to provide for the maintenance and care and establishment of free public education in the state of Tennessee. That's the role of the General Assembly. They do that by creating those powers and authorities and duties in state statute. And that's how the school's governed. They're a state agency. All right, so here's the issue authority. I asked three school districts, from where do you get your authority to issue a mask mandate? I got three different answers. Williamson County said, well, we got that authority because the Tennessee Department of Health suggested that the kids go to school in masks. Okay, so your argument is that because someone made a suggestion to you, that you now had the power to do something. I mean, think about that. I mean, you can get advice from anyone. Anyone can tell you, you know, this would be a great idea if you did this. You know, Gary, it would be a great idea if you just bulldozed this Jason's Deli and built something else. I think you should do that. Well, no, I don't. This isn't my property. I don't have the authority to do that. Do you see the disconnect there? So just because someone gives you a guideline or a suggestion does not mean you still have to have the power and the authority to act, no matter how good of an idea you think it is. Coffee County, get this. This one was awesome. Because here's a few things to recognize. One, the fact that the governor delegated power to the county mayor is unconstitutional to begin with. But also, I need you to recognize this. The school board does not work for the county. The school board is not a county official. They don't work with the county at all. They are a state-created agency. The local school board gets their authority from the State Board of Education, who draws its authority from the General Assembly, completely separate from the county. But this is what Coffee County said. Well, Bill Lee gave our county mayor the authority to issue masks in Executive Order 54, 55, whichever one that was. And then the county mayor wrote a letter to the school superintendent and gave him the authority to issue masks, to mandate masks in schools. That was Coffee County's interpretation of how they derived their authority. Okay. Rutherford County actually was the best one of all. They cited a state statute. I'm like, okay, you're on to something here. You went to state statute. And she cited 49-2-101. The beginning of the statute that I read to you a minute ago. No, 103, but section A1, the beginning of the statute, which simply, it's this long, and it says this. Local school boards have jurisdictions over local schools. It's just the beginning of the statute. There's all the other stuff underneath as to what they can and cannot do. But she said, well, A1 says that local school boards have jurisdictions over local schools. I'm like, okay, well then by your logic, as long as you do it in a school, you can do whatever you want. You have authority to mandate and do anything. I mean, you could take away any parental right. You could make them dress any way. You could do anything to these children as long as it's in school. That's what you just told me. What's the need for the rest of the statute? What's the need for any other specificity? If all you need is that one sentence then, and you can just do whatever you want. That was their interpretation of their path. Do you see the problem? Last thing about authority, obviously they don't know where it comes from. We asked, I had an attorney, he asked, and I won't tell you who they are, but he asked a bunch of legislators, sitting legislators, hey, where do you get your authority from? Okay, he got 25 responses. That's not the funny part. He got 25 responses, and every single one of them said, well, I was elected, so I have authority. You elected me. Well, I elected you to do what? Anything you want to do? Well, yeah, you elected me, and if you don't like what I do, well, just don't vote for me next time. No, I elected you to follow the law. I elected you to execute on statute. I elected you to possibly go through the legal process in the General Assembly to amend said statute. I elected you to execute the law. I elected you to uphold the Constitution. I elected you to defend my constitutional liberty. Do you know you can go to the Secretary of State website, you can pull the oath of office for every state elected official, and you should go pull the governor's. It's this big. It ends with, so help me God, and it gives the governor a duty. He swore an oath to do two things. Do you know what those two things are? One, I'll give you a guess. One of them was not to keep you safe. Okay? Yeah. Uphold the state constitution and uphold the United States Constitution. That's his two duties. That's his two oaths. That's it. That is why we elected a governor in the state of Tennessee, to make sure that he's, that no matter what is going on around us, that he is the constitutional officer that defends our liberty for you and me in the face of anything that may come against it, not to keep us safe. The point is that authority comes from somewhere. It begins somewhere, and it ends somewhere. And what you need to understand when you leave here tonight is that no one realizes that anymore. Your elected officials do not understand that simple premise. Many of them actually believe that you've elected kings and queens, that they can sort of just do stuff, that their job is to put borders around your life and do certain things to keep you safe and make sure that you're okay and manage all of these little bits and pieces that you aren't smart enough to get, okay? They believe this stuff. And it's a scary place to be, but we need to understand that authority has a beginning and an end. Here is a section of the Tennessee Constitution that you may have never heard. And if you have listened to any of this ad hoc committee that's going on, there was brilliant testimony given by a constitutional law professor from UT. His name's Glenn Reynolds, and he testified to this fact. This article has never been before a Tennessee court. Never. They've never heard it before. And I'll tell you why, because it's scary and because it gives you and me a lot of power. Okay, Article 11, Section 16. And it's going to mention the Declaration of Rights to make sure you know what those are. We have 11 articles. Article 1 is our Tennessee Bill of Rights. It's our Declaration of Rights. And everything in Article 1, it kind of repeats some stuff from the Constitution. You know, government shall make no retrospective laws impairing the obligation of contracts. That's a repeat from our U.S. Constitution. You have the right to life, liberty, and property, and it says under the law of the land, that's been interpreted to also mean due process, like our Fifth Amendment. You have the right to worship, liberty of conscience, right to bear arms. So all of those things are listed in Article 1. Article 11, Section 16 says this: the Declaration of Rights hereto prefixed is declared to be a part of the Constitution of the state. Listen. And shall never be violated on any pretense whatever. Wait, it gets better. In case you don't understand, they go on. And to guard against transgression of the high powers we have delegated, we declare that everything in the Bill of Rights contained is accepted out of the general powers of the government and shall forever remain inviolate. Accepted out of the general powers of government. You know what that means? That means those rights cannot be legislated away. They certainly cannot be taken away by a governor. And shall forever remain inviolate, shall never be violated on any pretense whatever. Do you think that covers COVID-19 and pandemics and anything else? That is in our state constitution, and we don't even know it. We just walk around, oh, I need a mask. Oh, I'm gonna take a shot. No, just, you know, do whatever, and I'm going to stay home. Oh, I'll close my business. That's, yeah, I'm just going to help people, you know, shut it down. I've been building this for a decade, but I'll close it up. I mean, just think about the obligation of contracts for a minute. Article 1, Section 20. The government shall make no retrospective law or law impairing the obligation of contracts. Let me ask you something. If you're a business, do you think a business might have contracts? Think a business might have a lease or a mortgage or a vendor agreement, a supplier agreement, employees. I mean, the list goes on. The government had laws. It set a parameter in place by which a business could be licensed and sign contracts and obligate itself to contracts and go into business, and the government shall make no retrospective law impairing the obligations of contracts. You can't hand something out and say, oh, never mind. Do you think maybe calling someone non-essential and shutting down their business and taking away every lick of revenue they had coming in may have impaired their ability to keep their obligations to their contracts? Yeah. Just maybe. We are operating so far outside of our state constitution. It is mind-blowing, and we're just sitting back. Well, because what am I going to do about it? They're the government. Well, there's a thing called, there's we the people. I'm not advocating for this, but we have the right to abolish it and reform it. That kind of sounds like they work for me. I have been calling people across Tennessee to go to TennesseeStands.org and read this resolution and sign it and share it and stand with us and stop complying with this utter nonsense. Let me make sure, you can clap for that. Let me make sure you know something tonight. An unconstitutional law stemming from authority that's never been handed out in any constitution or state statute is not a law. I don't care that there's a penalty. It's not a penalty from a state statute. Who the heck made it? The health board is an unelected bunch of nice people. Guess what unelected people don't do? They don't make policy, and they don't create penalties. In no world has when we had a king, he did. But in the United States of America, unelected people don't create policy. But we're so confused. I mean, the Supreme Court, we look at the Supreme Court ruling and go, oh, that's the law of the land. No, courts don't make laws. It's not the law of the land. And we've just forgotten all this stuff. Well, we're trying. The only power that anyone has over you right now in this, as my county mayor in Williamson County once said, this new world he calls COVID. The only power is our compliance. The only powers. Parents call me all the time, Gary, they rejected my mask exemption for my child. What do I do? Send your kid to school without a mask? They don't have any authority. And if just 100 of you in that little school actually got that and sent your kids to school every day, over and over again without a mask, what are they going to do? Oh, well, these people aren't going to comply with this nonsense. We're going to have to figure something else out. I mean, there's nothing else for them to do. You're the people. It's your government. Don't comply with nonsense. Do you hear that? I'm going to shift gears. I want to talk to you about vaccines. make sure I'm good with time here. I don't want to abuse my time. So you realize what all this is about, right? I mean, we're in compliance training. Do you get that? How far will you, you know, okay, well, cool. They stayed home, check. They closed their business, check. They're going to wear a mask everywhere they go, check. What else can we make them do? Well, they can make you take a vaccine.
Experimental vaccine.
Yeah, we're not going to, and we don't have time to test the animals. So we're going to test it on humans now. Okay. Well, I've got some not good news to you, but I will also tell you some things we're doing about it. But there's some things that I want you to know tonight to alert you to in our current state statute that you need to be aware of regarding vaccines. A lot of people feel like we're okay here in Tennessee because we have religious exemptions. Let me just state up front, because some of you aren't going to like what I have to say. But let me say up front, I am a red-blooded, conservative, God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Christian American man. But I hate religious liberty. Because I don't need religious, I shouldn't need religious liberty. I shouldn't have to tell you anything about my religion just for you to give me liberty. Do you see? See, what we've done is we've allowed all these laws and all these things to be made and all these things to go on across the United States and everything to be perpetrated on the people. Oh, but I'm cool with that as long as you'll give me my religious exemption. I don't want a religious exemption. I just want liberty. Does that make sense? Because what I'm about to tell, I'm telling you this for an important reason, because what we're going to try to do is uphold the religious exemption for immunizations, which is in danger right now in Tennessee. But the question that people ask me is, well, Gary, why should I have to have a religious exemption to not get a vaccine? I'm like, well, that's a great question. I think you just shouldn't have to have one if you don't want one because you're a people. You know, you're people protected by God. We the people. No, you should be able to refuse medical treatment if you don't want it. But what we have in Tennessee is religious exemptions. Now, here's where that's in danger. Let me go through a few things first, actually. Let me give you some scenarios that might play out so you're paying attention. You realize the governor has come out and said that he's not going to mandate a vaccine. Did you hear that? Yeah, he said, we're not going to mandate vaccines in Tennessee, but newsflash, he didn't mandate masks either. Okay? Just hang on to that, because that's important for you to hang on to as I walk through what I'm about to tell you. He didn't mandate masks either. All right? So the governor might try to mandate a mass vaccine by executive order. That's probably not going to happen. The governor may once again delegate authority to health boards or county executives to issue vaccine mandates. It's unconstitutional, but he might try. He's done it before. He might try to do that. They could work the system to mandate vaccines through the school system. They will definitely do that. You can count on it, and I'll tell you why. They might require vaccines through employers. Now, you're going to tell me I'm crazy. I'm going to show you why they can do that here in Tennessee. It's currently in our state statute. Someone is going to submit a bill to issue a statewide mandate through the legislature. I'm being told a variety of things right now. Oh, that's not happening. They're not doing that. But I'm being told someone is drafting a bill right now. But then I'm told, well, that's never, the General Assembly's never going to pass that. Let me tell you why you need to fear that and call everybody and make sure they don't do it, because anybody ever here heard of Jacobson v. Massachusetts? Jacobson v. Massachusetts is the Supreme Court case that our Attorney General so brilliantly used to justify the constitutionality of mask mandates in Tennessee. I did a video. You should go to Tennessee Stands, look it up. And check the video out, and I just destroyed that argument. It's the silliest argument ever, because we've had no legislative action here in Tennessee during this emergency. What Jacobson v. Massachusetts did, and here's the scary part when it comes to a vaccine, the Supreme Court in 1905 upheld the Massachusetts state's legislature's right or powers, per the 10th Amendment, to mandate a vaccine for smallpox. And the reason that they upheld the mandate was because it was a full legislative action. It wasn't a mandate. It wasn't emergency powers. It wasn't a rule by executive fiat. It passed their house. It passed the Senate. The governor signed it, and it was the law of the land, state law. You got to take a vaccine or pay a $5 penalty fine, which would be, in today's money, $148. Okay. Well, Mr. Jacobson, who is also a man of God, did not want to feel like he should pay $5. And maybe he couldn't. I mean, you think of $148 today, I mean, not everybody can pay $148 to not take a vaccine. Some people will just say, well, I don't have $148. I guess you're going to have to give me the vaccine. Okay? That's the situation they were in. And that's what the Supreme Court upheld. So lest you think this can't happen in Tennessee, should the General Assembly actually pass a vaccine mandate that has been upheld as constitutional by our Supreme Court and that's never been overturned, that has stood since 1905. Now, might that be challenged and be overturned in a 2020-2021 Supreme Court? Maybe. But it hasn't yet, so you should know that. They did. Yeah, they did. They upheld the law. Yeah. No, but that was the law. The law was take the vaccine or pay the fine. Yeah, they upheld the law. Yeah. So they upheld it because it was a law. They upheld the legislative action is what they did. Here's some things that currently exist in our Tennessee state statute regarding vaccines and religious exemptions. There are three places we have religious exemptions. We have them in our juvenile code. We have them in our employer-employee code, and we have it in our school code. Title 50-3106, number 10, is the employee's rights code. I'll set Title 50-3-106. And listen to how crafty this is. This is the way it's written. Nothing in this chapter or this section shall be deemed to authorize the medical to authorize or require medical examination, immunization, or treatment for those who object to the medical examination, immunization, or treatment on religious grounds. So cool, you have a religious exemption. Based on religious grounds, my employer cannot force me to receive any kind of medical intervention or immunization. Great. Here's the next, after the comma though, except where the medical examination, immunization, or treatment is necessary for the protection of the health or safety of others. What's the use of the? You don't really have an exemption, do you? What's the point? Mm-hmm. Now it doesn't say who gets to decide if the public health's at risk. But that's in there. That's in our current state statute. Now, doesn't that sound like the mask story? It's not for you. It's for everybody else. You got to protect others. Do you see what's happening? Because I bet you. If I go look at other state statutes around the country, because you know this is lobbied, right? I bet you that exception is in lots of state statutes. Oh, but if it's a public health emergency and it's to protect others, no, your religious exemption goes away. Yeah, we did that here in Tennessee. Title 37-10-401. This is, I'll come back to that. 37-10-402. This is in the juvenile code, which gives a parent a right to file with the state that they have refuse immunizations on religious grounds. Okay, so it says it does not apply to a child whose parent or guardian files, a statement that it conflicts with their religious beliefs, whatever. But at the beginning of that statute, it says this: it only applies in the absence of an epidemic or immediate threat thereof. Okay, so parents, we're in the state of Tennessee. We're going to give you a religious exemption except if there's an epidemic, or except maybe if one might be coming. it's laughable, and we passed this stuff. We passed it. This is the one in the schools, Title 49-6-5001, Section B. It's the same language in the absence of an epidemic or threat of an immediate epidemic. That's in our school code. So I ask you, Now, the state statute doesn't say that a business has to force you to take a vaccine. It just says that it can. So it's still up to the business. But might you think that a company like Amazon might mandate a vaccine for their employees? Sure, absolutely. And I bet if I go around this room, you can name all sorts of corporations that are going to require their employees. Well, what's these people making 7, 8, 9, 10 bucks an hour to do whenever it's take the vaccine or lose your job? Think about that for a minute. The situation that so many people across the state are going to be in without the ability to actually choose whether or not they want the vaccine because they can't lose their job. It's the same situation we're in right now in schools. I don't want to send my kid to school in a mask. This is insanity. I don't want to do it. But both parents work, or I'm a single mom with two jobs. Like, I don't get to homeschool my kid. I can't pay for private school. I can't hire a private tutor. I've got to send my kid to school. So, state of Tennessee, you got me. It's terrible. It is terrible, the situation that we're putting people in. I'll close with this, and then we'll take some questions, because I'm sure there are some questions. But I feel sometimes like being such a rebel when I'm making this statement I'm about to make, and feel like sometimes I'm putting people in an awkward situation. But look around you. We're in a really awkward situation. We're already in a really terrible situation. And we don't currently have a mask mandate in Williamson County, but we have a really crazy one in Davidson County just across the way. So I get that what I'm about to say is different for people in Williamson County than it is for folks in Shelby County right now. Nonetheless, I will say it again. The only power, I don't care what they do to you, the only power these people have is our compliance. And as we continue to obey tyranny, think about what happened in the 1700s when we told the king, we ain't doing this no more. There was some major fallout. And I will say, I believe we are in the same place today. Make no mistake. I mean, look around. The America that we know and that we love and that we've had now for, 244 years, whatever it is, it is on the brink. And we are giving it away. I will tell you, as a believer, I don't know I know this is a libertarian group, and mostly I don't know where everyone stands in here, but I'll just tell you, for me, as a Christian, I blame the church. The church bears so much blame for where we sit today. Oh, I'm not going to get super, I don't want to make people mad. I'll just tolerate this. And, you know, I don't want to go talk about my faith. And, I don't want to upset the apple cart. I mean, you know, life's good for me. I'm going to come home from church and turn on the barbecue pit and do my thing. And everybody else, you know, figure it out. And it'll be all fine. And it's good. And we can let people have this and do that. And it's fine. I'm not going to mess with that. That attitude is exactly why we are where we are. And until good men and women who believe in liberty, who believe in freedom, who understand that we are not subject to the rule of a king or a queen, that the government works for us, until we're able to flip that in our minds again, we are on the brink. I truly believe that with all of my being. We are on the brink of losing this thing. We're on the brink of, in the next 10, 20 years, having a country that is unrecognizable. And so my call to you is, in whatever way you can, wherever you go, wherever you are, stand for what you know is right, no matter what. Just stand up. Stand up. Forget what someone told you to do. If it's not good for you and it carries no force of law and no weight of authority behind it, forget about it. Not doing it. I'm just not. And that's not to demean anyone who does. But look, some of us need to make some decisions that we're just going to stand and we're not going to give this away anymore. On that very exhilarating, exciting note, questions.